I'm Rick Katchke, and this is the Catered Quiz. Today's contestant, from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the editor and co-founder of Milwaukee Record, Matt Wild. Now, here is the Catered Quiz. Today, my guest is Milwaukee Record's own Matt Wild. Matt, thank you for being on the show.
Rick, thank you so much for having me on the Catered Quiz. I've been looking forward to this. It is an honor, literally an honor to be on this. I was very flattered that you asked me to do this, and I'm very, very excited.
Well, thank you for the kind words, and it's perfect timing because we are right here as Milwaukee Record is celebrating its 10-year anniversary. What's it been like with a decade as a co-founder of Milwaukee Record?
It's kind of wild to think that, yeah, we have been doing this a decade. We launched April 7th, 2014. Back before we launched, I was the city editor of the AV Club Milwaukee, which came bundled at the back of the Onion, back when the Onion still printed editions throughout the country. And once that went away, once the Onion kind of unceremoniously just ended our job, I honestly think they forgot Milwaukee had an office and we were the last ones to go. And they're like, oh, we got to get rid of this. And so they booted us. And then I decided I needed a job. So I started this thing with Tyler Moss, who had been a writer for AV Club Milwaukee. We both launched this thing kind of over a bunch of drunken conversations in late 2013. And launched in 2014. And now fast forward, 10 years later, it's kind of wild to think about that. We must be doing something right. I don't know. I don't want to, toot my own horn and say, wow, we're really knocking it out of the park. But like I said, we must be doing something right. And it's something I enjoy. And it's something I hope to do for another 10, 20, 30, 40 years, whatever. I'll be an old man and writing about bands that are like a third my age at this point. It's already gotten to the point where they're like, I'm old enough to be a lot of these groups that I write about, old enough to be their father, but I don't know, maybe one day I'll be in grandfather status as well.
Do you have a favorite article or experience that has taken place in the past decade? I'm sure it's hard to narrow it down to just one, but any that really stand out to you as I can't believe that happened.
Oh, there's a lot, and a lot that Tyler has written over the years where he eats a lot of things. I have never been one of the eating, adventure journalists. That's definitely Tyler's beat. Just off the top of my head, some stuff that I've always really liked are things where I kind of go in thinking I'm going to write one thing and then write a completely different thing in the end. And some of these have gotten kind of emotional. Like, I don't know how many years ago it was. I stayed at Shaker's cigar bar. It's this haunted cigar bar in downtown Milwaukee or Third Ward and Walker's Point, whatever it is. It was around Halloween and they invited me to stay on this penthouse, the second floor penthouse, which was supposedly haunted. And I kind of went in sure, whatever. Very skeptical about that sort of thing. And ended up, as I was, holed up in this kind of creepy room all night, just with my thoughts, as I think the headline says, too, it's like things got emotional. I recently become a father at that point. So there was a lot of life changes. And maybe it could have been the first night I was really away from my daughter at the time and that sort of thing. And so I ended up writing this kind of very heartfelt, very hard on its sleeve, emotional piece. And luckily, it resonated with a lot of people and they enjoyed it. So those are the kind of things that I enjoy writing. Like I said, go in thinking one thing, but then end up writing a completely different thing and kind of just kind of letting my emotions just go out. And hopefully people, don't think I'm a total doofus for doing that. So
now I will say it's not quite as emotional, but I do appreciate that your ventures have brought you to meeting 50 Cent and Jason Momoa.
There is a whole other beat of me going to vodka signings at suburban liquor stores and grocery stores or Costco's. Yes, the 50 Cent one that may be on my tombstone when I die. I don't know why that one specifically resonated, but it did. I stood in line for, 6 hours or something to get a a signed bottle of vodka from rapper 50 Cent. And I kind of wrote a minute by minute, quote unquote, minute by minute recap of my experiences standing in line. Those are also fun to do, these minute by minute ones. Did one for 50 Cent, one for Jason Momoa. One that I just recently revisited was I did a minute by minute recap of me meeting the guy who's eaten like 40,000 Big Macs in his life, Don Gorski, I want to say his name. He's from Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. And a couple of years ago, he came to a local McDonald's to hand out bottles of Big Mac sauce. And of course, I was there and, you know, wrote up just the experience of being in line and, you know, like waiting around with press and stuff. That kind of thing just cracks me up. You know, these big to-dos about these ridiculous, you know, celebrity meet and greets. I love it.
I like the idea of, you know, a gaggle of press. Mr. Gorski, you know, flash bulbs going off. Show us the sauce, please.
Oh, there were questions. Yeah. And he came in, he showed up in a limo and everyone is like oohing and eyeing as they see him pull up, you know, to the McDonald's and cameras everywhere. And he comes in, it's like, you know, it was like the king just coming in. And, you know, he was a great looking guy, like a long gray ponytail kind of thing. Some John Lennon granny glasses, looked fantastic. And, you know, kind of pressed the flesh. And then he, you know, sat down and ate a couple Big Macs.
Well, Matt, we could talk about Big Macs all day, but you're here for one reason, not to promote the 10-year anniversary of Milwaukee Record. No, no, no.
Goodness,
you're
no.
Here because today you are playing the catered quiz. So how it will work is there are two rounds. Each round has the same number of questions, same point values. We'll take a quick break. And then the final two questions are first the doubler, where it's a chance to double your score. So if you have 100 points, you get the doubler right, boom, you have 200 points. You get it wrong, you still have 100 points. Then whatever topic you don't use for the doubler, you must use for the final question of the game, which is called the required risk, where you must risk at least 1 point. There is no wagering zero on the catered quiz.
I just want to say, like, recently Tyler and I were recording, we do our own little podcast on Patreon, and this past one, he kind of sprung a surprise quiz on me for the podcast. And at one point I was like, ooh, is there going to be a doubler? That's how much the catered quiz is living rent free in my brain. So like I said, this is a thrill to actually finally be on.
Well, the goal is to have it creep into everybody's lives. Now, the points are all worth pennies. So you're playing for potentially a lunch changing amount of money today and beyond today. You're also playing to try to earn entry into the Tournament of High Scores, because at the end of the year, the top three scores from this season will compete to be named the Catered Quiz Champion. All right, Matt, which topic would you like to do first, Twin Peaks or Weird Al Yankovic?
Well, let's mix it up. I know I just recently listened to an episode with Nick from the Found Footage Festival, and one of his topics was UHF, the great Weird Al movie UHF. So let's switch it up. Let's start with Twin Peaks.
All right. Twin Peaks, was this a TV series that you watched when it first aired, or is it something that you came to later?
This, I did see it when it first aired. My mother was a big David Lynch fan, and she was really, really excited about this show, Twin Peaks, that at the time got a ton of hype just leading up to it. And I remember reading about it in the TV guide. I loved the TV guide back in the day, the old kind of like digest format TV guide. And there was a huge feature on it one week with a big, like, kind of pull out, fold out spread of all the characters and everything. And I got excited about it. My mom got excited about it. We watched it together. And I do remember at one point her getting very, very mad at me because she had something to do one night and I was supposed to tape it on our VCR. I somehow didn't. I somehow messed it up, whatever. I did not tape the episode. She came home and she was literally very, very angry with me. And it was very scary. And I literally still have dreams about that. This episode of Twin Peaks I did not tape for my mom. And all these years later, you know, even when the revival season three or the return came back in 2017, me and my mom were watching it again and loving it. And I should say my father, back then and now, absolutely hated Twin Peaks. And I have memories of that too, of my father throwing something at the TV while watching an episode and storming out of the room, and just hated it so much. And even with the return a few years ago, hated it still. So those are my memories of Twin Peaks, and I've revisited it many times over the years. Loved the third return season, and it's just one of those things that is permanently in my brain. I know everything there is to know about it, so I'm sure I'm going to completely blow it today.
Before we dive in, I do have to ask, how soon was your mom able to see that episode that you missed the recording of? Did a neighbor record it? Did somebody else do it, Matt?
I don't know. Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, back then it was like if you missed it, you just kind of missed it. Like maybe they would rerun it, months later or something, but you were just out of luck. So I don't know like how she picked it up, but she did, and I don't know. I just remember this third season too, just talking to her about it, and I don't know. It's been a good bonding thing for me and my mother.
All right. Well, now that we've dipped into that childhood trauma, let's go into the quiz for Twin Peaks. So, for 10 points, Matt, the theme song for Twin Peaks is an instrumental version of what song by Julee Cruise?
It's oh my God. Well, here we go. I wanted to say it's not Laura's theme. It's not Into the Night. It's see, I told you. I'm just gonna absolutely it's Angelo Badalamenti, of course, the great, late, great Angelo Badalamenti. It's on the tip of my tongue. Boy, I am blanking. I knew this would happen. I knew this would happen. It's not Into the Night. It's not In the Trees. I don't know. I'm gonna have to say I don't know. I'm gonna kill myself once I
The
say it.
song is called Falling.
Of course. Off to a great start. Super fan Matt Wild here, just blowing it on the 10 point. Okay, let's go.
Happens. Don't worry, Matt. There's still plenty of time to make up for that. So, the bonus 10-point question. After the main theme ends in the pilot episode, who is the first Twin Peaks character that we see the face of?
That would be Josie Packard.
You got that right. You're on the board, Matt.
There we go. There we go. Yes. Yeah, very first one. She's looking in the mirror. She's kind of humming mysteriously to herself. And then, of course, we see Pete Martell, the great late great Jack Nance. He finds the body, and the whole thing gets kicked off. Great. That pilot episode is just about perfect. Absolutely fantastic.
I just let you go and you just describe the whole episode. And then you see a kid in the background slam his locker and he kind of dances away.
Also a great scene, amazing
Yes.
scene. Yes, I can answer anything about that kid.
All right, so you're on the board. 10 points. Now we go to the 20-point question. What fictional soap opera do we see glimpses of throughout the first season of Twin Peaks?
I love this fake soap opera. I love that it was kind of an important thing for the first, I don't know, half of the first season, then they completely dropped it. It was called Invitation to Love.
That is correct.
All right.
All right, so you're on the board with the 20-point question as well. So you're up to 30 points as we find ourselves at the 30-point question. This is a this or that, a 50-50 shot here. Which Mitchum brother did Jim Belushi play in The Return? Was he Bradley or Rodney?
Oh, wow. I believe he was Rodney.
You believed wrong. He was Bradley.
Oh man. I just started rewatching season three, and I have not gotten up to the great Jim Belushi I don't know, extended cameo. I don't know. He just pops up and yeah, and he's one of these brothers, and the part where they're conga dancing through the office is just a delight. And he's actually a hoot in it. And of course, I blew that one as well.
So you're at 30 points as we make our way to the 40-point question. There are two answers here. Each one is worth 20 points. What two Twin Peaks cast members were also in the cast of the movie West Side Story? We're talking about the Robert Wise version, not the Steven Spielberg remake.
Yes. That would be oh boy, I'm gonna blank on the actors' names. It's Jacoby, it's Dr. Jacoby and Ben Horn. And their names are Russ Tamblyn,
You
who
got
is
20
Dr.
points.
Jacoby. There we
Yes.
go. Father of Amber Tamblyn, right? And oh, Ben Horns, the actor. It's oh man, that's driving me nuts too. Of course I know this. I should know this. Or was it his brother Jerry? No, it wasn't Jerry. It was Ben Horn, and his name was Richard. Ugh. I want to say Richard something. I don't know.
You have half of it.
Ah.
Can he guess a last name?
Richard. I'm totally blanking. Like Barnes, it's not Richard Barnes. It's Richard Clark, Richard Duncan. It's none of those. I don't know. It's Richard something.
It was Richard Boehmer.
Famer. Oh, man.
He's the male lead in West Side Story.
I did not know that for so long. And knowing that, there was this like West Side Story reunion within Twin Peaks is fascinating. There's also a Mod Squad reunion in Twin Peaks. Norma, played by Peggy Lipton, she reunites with the guy who played Link in the Mod Squad. He pops up at some point in the diner. Fascinating.
So you are at 50 points as we make our way to the 50-point question. For 50 points, Matt. What character was Laura Palmer's killer in the Saturday Night Live Twin Peaks sketch in the episode hosted by Kyle MacLachlan?
I believe it was Leo, as played by Chris Farley.
You got that right. You have
Oh,
doubled your score. You are at 100 points, Matt.
oh man, yes, I can just picture him as Leo, and he's just like, they're of course Cooper's just going, choosing anyone but him, and he's like, here's pictures of me killing her, and I don't know, it's hilarious.
Yeah, that Cooper has basically ignored all this evidence that Leo has provided, all these confessions.
Yep. And I love that it's Farley. Like, looks nothing like the guy. Like, I don't know. He looks up just like Chris Farley, but he's great in it. Yes.
After the Twin Peaks round, you are at 100 points as we make our way to the Weird Al round. So, Matt, at what age did you get into Weird Al?
I don't know what age, but I can tell you like what Weird Al album I got into, which is always like the thing with Weird Al. It's like, what album did you get into him with? And that's usually like, people's favorite albums, whenever they happen to be, like probably 13 or something. And for me, it was, yeah, probably around that age. And it was Even Worse was my first Weird Al album that I remember. A girl that I knew in school, she dubbed me a cassette copy of it. I took it home. I loved it. And then some other friends dubbed me some albums. I believe I had like In 3D and Dare to Be Stupid on one, each on one side of a cassette tape. And of course, some of the songs got cut off, but I didn't care. I just loved it anyway. And Weird Al was one of those. It was weird because it was Weird Al was like the first artist I actively followed. Like up until that point, I listened to music, whatever was on the radio, whatever top 40 songs was on the radio, that's what I liked. It was like, oh, Bon Jovi, sure, I like Bon Jovi, or Kenny Rogers, sure, that's a great song. But like with Weird Al, he was the first one I was like, oh, I really got to get into this guy's discography. I got to dig deep. And so it wasn't just about, Eat It or Fat. It was like, oh, wow, That Boy Could Dance. Oh, I love this song. Or, I don't know. One of Those Days, or just these weird deep cuts that I really got into. So when he when Weird Al came around just a few years ago on his one of his big tours, he did it twice actually, where he was playing a lot of these deep cut songs and these non-parodies, these more kind of general style parodies. That was just absolute catnip for me. I knew all these obscure weird songs and I just loved them so much. That was so amazing to see those songs live.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that he was doing a tour of that. And when he came to do that show, he had originally announced just a Tuesday show. So I bought the tickets for Tuesday, and then a Monday show was added. And I, like a fool to my wife, I was like, I'm sorry, but I have to go to both of these shows because he's gonna do different sets each night. And if he does Biggest Ball of Twine in Minnesota at the Monday show, and I miss it on the Tuesday show, I will regret it for the rest of my life. And it's a good thing I did do that because he did play Biggest Ball of Twine on the Monday show. So
fantastic. Yeah, I went to both of those shows as well for much the same reason. It was like, I need to hear Biggest Ball of Twine. I need to hear Frank's 2,000-inch TV. I needed to hear all these just random deep cuts. And it was, yeah, such a joy, those shows. And every time I've seen Weird Al from his days playing, you know, the Waukesha County Fair to, you know, he's become kind of this elder statesman at this point who's very revered. And, you know, now he's playing big theaters and, you know, nice places. But I do fondly remember those early or semi-early days where he'd be playing, you know, some fairgrounds or even outside at Summerfest at, you know, 4 p.m. and there'd be a decent crowd, but nothing crazy. And now to see him, you know, selling out two nights at the Pabst Theater in Milwaukee or something is quite the hoot.
Excellent. Well, you're at 100 points. Let's dive in to the Weird Al quiz. So for 10 points, Weird Al won a Grammy for Best Concept Music Video for what song from Even Worse?
From Even Worse, it's gotta be Fat.
It is Fat. So you are on the board with 10 points this round, up to 110 points. So speaking of Michael Jackson, Weird Al is mistaken for him by Blair Underwood in the music video for what Michael Jackson song?
Wow. What a Blair Underwood.
It is a celebrity-packed video.
Michael Jackson video. Okay, uh-huh. So I'm thinking this has got to be like Dangerous Era or something like that. Or, boy. Or no, what was the one with like Magic Johnson in it? Kind of that era of Michael Jackson, like Black or White. It wasn't Black or White. Magic Johnson was in Jam, I believe. I'm just going to rattle everything off except the answer because I don't know it. I feel like this is like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire just waffling here until, I don't know.
Bom, 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 bom,
yeah,
bom,
I know.
Bom, bom,
bom. Celebrity-filled, maybe it is Jam, maybe it is Eddie Murphy was in one with Iman. Naomi Campbell was in one. I'm going to say maybe it was Black or White. I'll say Black or White.
It was not Black or White. It's a song called Liberian Girl. And It is a crazy music video. You have to watch it, Matt.
I'm jotting it down right now, yes.
The premise of the music video is all these celebrities have been recruited for the shoot, and they're all waiting around for Michael Jackson. Where's Michael? Where could he be? I heard he dresses in costumes. Is that him? So Blair Underwood is talking with Rick Schroeder and mistakes the back of Weird Al's head for the back of Michael Jackson. And then at the end of the video, sorry to spoil it, Steve Guttenberg and Dan Aykroyd show up on like police motorcycles. And shortly after that, it's revealed that Michael Jackson was like above the action the whole time in a director's chair filming it. And so this whole thing has been the music video. Everybody's minds are blown. And Dan Aykroyd goes, "Oh, Mike!" And it is my favorite delivery of Dan Aykroyd's career.
This is all new information to me. Like I said, the second we are done with this, I am hopping on and watching that. That sounds amazing.
It's one of my obsessions, so I had to have a question about it. All right, you got the first part right, though, so you're at 110 points.
Okay.
As we move to question two for 20 points. Weird Al wrote and performed the theme song for what Leslie Nielsen movie?
Oh, it's Spy Hard.
It is Spy Hard.
There we go. I don't think I've ever actually seen Spy Hard, but I do remember that it was, I don't know if it was released on one of his actual records or a kind of a collection or something, but yes, I can picture the opening kind of goofing on James Bond, of course, and never saw it, but glad I know that it was Spy Hard.
Spy Hard, co-written by Comedy Sports founder Dick Chudnow.
Oh, I did not know that. Yeah. It's always a connection, local connection.
So you're at 130 points as we make our way to the this or that question. So, speaking of theme songs, Weird Al wrote one for the TV show Talk Soup, but they didn't actually use it. But the song Talk Soup ended up on which album? Alapalooza or Off the Deep End?
Alapalooza.
That's correct.
Excellent. Alapalooza, I believe, was the last Weird Al album that I purchased on cassette. I think everything post that was on CD and then eventually streaming and eventually whatever. But that one I still do have on tape.
All right, well, let's see how you do with one of those post albums for the 40-point question. Straight Outta Linwood features two songs with computer-related words in the title. What are those two songs?
It's definitely all about the Pentiums. Oh boy. It's got to be. Don't download this song.
Don't Download This Song was one of them. All About the Pentiums was on a previous album.
Oh, the other one, eBay, perhaps?
No, it was Virus Alert.
Oh, wow, very good. Oh,
And
boy.
Virus Alert is a style parody of Sparks, one of my favorite bands.
Very nice. I should have known. I should have known there'd be something related to Sparks somehow tied into this.
Well, the I got into Sparks after I'd been a Weird Al fan for decades, and part of the reason why I like Sparks so much is it reminds me of the original songs by Weird Al. So
Right.
that's a huge compliment to them and to Weird Al.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So you did get Don't Download This Song, so you're at 180 points as we make our way to the final question of the round, the 50-point question. While never released on any albums, at some concerts in the 90s, Weird Al performed a parody of Live and Let Die, where the words Live and Let Die were changed to what food?
It's a beautiful song. I've heard him perform it. It's amazing. It of course did not get the blessing of Paul McCartney because Paul McCartney is vegan. That would be chicken pot pie.
It was chicken pot pie. Bawk, bawk.
Amazing. Yes, and then there's actual chicken noises. It's just a beautiful thing. Yeah. So I love that Paul was very gracious, but politely asked him to not release it because of Paul's a very staunch vegan. So I love that Al, respected Paul McCartney. Didn't go over Paul McCartney's head and release it anyway.
So you got that right. A very strong round with Weird Al. You are at 230 points. We will take
All
a
right.
quick break and be back for the final two questions. Hey, it's Rick Kachke here with the Catered Quiz. Just taking a moment as we set up for the doubler and the required risk to let you know that if you don't already visit MilwaukeeRecord.com, you really should visit and read MilwaukeeRecord.com, even if you're not in the Milwaukee area. So many great writers there, a great site. And if you do frequent the site, consider supporting their Patreon page or getting some merch. They've been around 10 years. Show some support for a new Milwaukee institution. All right, my team is telling me to get off my soapbox and let's go back for the final two questions with Matt Wild. Okay, we are back for the final two questions. Matt Wild is at 230 points. Matt, which topic would you like to do for the doubler?
Boy, my brain says Weird Al, but for some reason, my heart's going with Twin Peaks. Let's go back, back to Washington State. Let's go back to the town of Twin Peaks.
All right.
Whew.
So to double your points from 230 to 460, David Lynch played the character Gordon Cole, which is also a character name in what film that is one of David Lynch's favorite movies?
I know there's so many references in that Gordon Cole. Oh man, it's gonna kill me. Great question. These are all great questions, and they're great because they're not like completely, super obscure, but they're just perfect enough. I'm gonna say, but I don't think it is. I'll say the film Laura.
No, it was Sunset Boulevard.
That's a Boulevard. Oh my God, yeah. Of course. I know, obviously, the movie Laura Palmer is referenced in it, and there's some other references there. Of course, it was Sunset Boulevard. Oh boy. There goes the doubler.
So, Matt, you are at 230 points. How many points would you like to wager for the required risk? I will be upfront. You have no shot of making the tournament of high scores.
I didn't think so. Yeah, especially when I didn't get the doubler. I knew it was all over. But if you put it like that, let's I'm gonna go all in anyway. I don't care. I blew the doubler. I'm going all in. 230 points on the final required risk here. If I come home with nothing, that's great. Fine.
There was a tinge of anger in that fine just now.
I know. I'm angry with myself right now. I'm not going to watch that Michael Jackson video when I'm done here. I'm just going to sit in a corner and just beat myself up.
So for $4.60 or nothing at all, here it is, the required risk. Weird Al released an adaptation of Peter and the Wolf. With what electronic music pioneer?
Oh, man, another good question. I had a dubbed copy of this as well. And boy, who did it with him? I want to say I want to say it's a woman, and I can't think of her name. I don't know. Here we go. I'm going all the way down to zero. Please tell me who it was.
Wendy Carlos is the name
There it is.
we were looking
Of
for.
course. Oh, wow. Well, I'm glad that I just lost everything on a Wendy Carlos question. I should have known that. Like I said, I had the tape. I remember the Peter and the Wolf thing, but I don't know. I did about as well as I thought I would, to be honest. 0 points.
When we went to that concert, they were selling rare copies of that record on vinyl.
Oh, my.
Original pressings for, I want to say, at least $200. I was like, boy, I'd love to get that record, but not for that much.
No, yeah, my Weird Al fandom does know some limits as well, and yeah, maybe it, yeah, an original vinyl pressing of Peter and the Wolf, that may be the limit.
Well, Matt, before we wrap up, do you have any parting words, anything you'd like to share before we end this episode of the Catered Quiz?
No, I just want to say thank you, Rick, for having me. This is a lot of fun. It's such a great concept for the show because as I have demonstrated, you can go in like feeling so confident about like, yeah, I know everything there is to know about these two subjects. And of course, you don't. And of course, I don't. So I don't know, kind of a proven concept here, me completely blowing it. Has anyone walked away with 0 points
You're
before? Am I
not
the
alone.
first?
No, you're not alone.
Okay.
There's been multiple zeros.
All right, so I'm in fine company then, so I don't feel that bad. But no, this is a fantastic show, and like I said, I'm a regular listener, and I look forward to hearing all the episodes to come.
Thank you to Matt for joining me on the Catered Quiz. After today's episode, the standings remain the same with Mitch DeSantis in first with 610 points. Elise Bartel in second with 510, and Joe Pickett in third with 501. Thank you for listening to the Catered Quiz. If this was your first time listening to the show, check out our archives, check out our previous episodes, and know that every Tuesday there's a brand new episode. Hope that you consider subscribing, and thank you for your support of the Catered Quiz.